In today's news headlines, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo on Friday morning announced that the U.S. would be pulling out of the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty with Russia. The treaty has been in place since 1987 and was the first such agreement between two countries that banned an entire class of weapons, missiles launched from the ground with a range of 300 to 3,000 miles. For months, President Donald Trump's administration has threatened to pull out of the treaty, saying that Russia was in violation. On Friday, Mr. Pompeo gave the required six-month notice for the end of the treaty.
Russia has refused to take any steps to return real and verifiable compliance over these 60 days. The United States will therefore suspend its obligations under the INF Treaty effective February 2nd. We will provide Russia and the other treaty parties with formal notice that the United States is withdrawing from the INF Treaty effective in 6 months, pursuant to Article 15 of the treaty. Russia has jeopardized the United States' security interest, and we can no longer be restricted by the treaty while Russia shamelessly violates it. If Russia does not return to full and verifiable compliance with the treaty within this six-month period by verifiably destroying its INF-violating missiles, their launchers, and associated equipment, the treaty will terminate.
That's Secretary of State Mike Pompeo on Friday announcing the U.S.'s intention to pull out of the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty with Russia. Just minutes after his announcement, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, or NATO, released a statement urging Russia to use the remaining 6 months to return to full and verifiable compliance to preserve the INF Treaty. Additionally, it said that NATO would take any steps necessary to ensure the credibility and effectiveness of the alliance's overall deterrence and defense posture. In other news, the new deadline for Congress and the president to fund the government for the rest of the year is February 15th. And as of now, there's no movement toward progress, given Trump's continued insistence on funding for a border wall. In an interview with the New York Times on Thursday, Trump called talks with the Democrats a waste of time.
I think Nancy Pelosi is hurting our country very badly by doing what she's doing. And ultimately, I think I've set the table very nicely. I think people understand. Well, they understand, Peter. They didn't know what was going on at the southern border. Now they know. They had no idea the amount of crime, the amount of drugs, the amount of human trafficking, which can be stopped with a proper system.
You set the table for our emergency declaration.
I've set the table. I've set the stage for doing what I'm going to do.
Are you going to wait out the 21 days before you take it?
Yeah, I'm going to wait till the 15th. I think it's a waste of time.
That's President Trump in an interview with the New York Times on Thursday, speculating that talks with the Democrats on funding the government would be a waste of time and implying that he might simply turn to a declaration of a national emergency to obtain money for his wall. Meanwhile, the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol Agency announced that it had seized the biggest ever shipment of the opioid fentanyl, nearly 254 pounds, from a truck of Mexican produce heading into Arizona. The drugs were apparently hidden in the floor of a tractor trailer and discovered during a secondary scan after drug-sniffing dogs got suspicious. The total street value of the fentanyl is about $3.5 million. There was also about $1.18 million worth of methamphetamine found in the drug bust. Trump, who has claimed that drugs and violence are pouring over the U.S.-Mexico border, proudly tweeted, "Our great U.S. Border Patrol agents made the biggest fentanyl bust in our country's history. Thanks, as always, for a job well done." What he did not clarify is that the drug bust was not linked even remotely to the refugee crisis at the border. Most drugs that enter through the border are trucked in through official ports of entry and not smuggled in by individuals seeking asylum. Trump's wall would have no impact on drugs hidden inside produce trucks. Meanwhile, U.S. immigration courts have turned away hundreds of people who showed up for their scheduled government-issued appearances. It's part of an ongoing phenomenon that immigrants arrive at courts with government documents in hand, saying they should appear, only to be told they don't have a scheduled appointment. In the latest instance, courts are citing the government shutdown and harsh winter weather for the confusion over court dates. Just one day after publicly insulting the Intelligence Department heads of his own administration, Trump walked back his comments, saying that the media had misquoted them. Trump had responded to the Senate Intelligence Committee testimonies of FBI Director Christopher Wray, CIA Director Gina Haspel, and Director of National Intelligence Dan Coats by ranting on Twitter about how, quote, extremely passive and naive they were, and that perhaps they should, quote, go back to school. But on Thursday, he posted a tweet of himself meeting with some of the heads and wrote, quote, just concluded a great meeting with my intel team in the Oval Office, who told me that what they said on Tuesday at the Senate hearing was mischaracterized by the media, and we are very much in agreement on Iran, ISIS, North Korea, etc. The FBI has released its report on the worst gun massacre in modern U.S. history, and it's a mere 3 pages long. The 2017 massacre in Las Vegas, Nevada, where a white man named Stephen Paddock killed 58 people and injured nearly 900 more, was investigated at length for over a year. Survivors of the massacre are shocked at the brevity of the 3-page report, which concluded that Paddock had no, quote, single or clear motivating factor in doing what he did. In contrast, after the Sandy Hook massacre in 2012, the FBI issued a 1,500-page report. Republican congressional candidate Martha McSally of Arizona is under investigation by the Federal Election Commission for potential campaign finance violations. McSally narrowly lost to Democrat Kyrsten Sinema last November. Federal campaign finance laws allow a maximum of $2,700 per individual donor per election. According to AP, the FEC flagged dozens of contributions to McSally from more than 60 donors that appear to exceed those limits, including one who cut a $10,000 check. In climate news, scientists have discovered a massive city-sized cavity inside one of the world's biggest glaciers. NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory released a study on Thursday revealing that the cavity in the Thwaites Glacier is about two-thirds the size of Manhattan and nearly 1,000 feet tall. The Thwaites Glacier lies in western Antarctica and is already seen as responsible for about 4% of the increase in sea levels. The presence of the cavity suggests that global warming is melting Antarctica's glaciers faster than previously thought. In Belgium, thousands of teenagers cut classes this week for the fourth time in a row, but they weren't playing hooky. They were marching for the climate. There were an estimated 12,500 students marching in Brussels alone, with similar numbers at another march in the country. Students are marching every Thursday in an effort to warn their governments to do more on climate change. One 17-year-old student named Manon Wilmart told reporters, quote, they left us a planet in bad shape, so it's our job to change that. But we can do it. We're younger, and we know that we can do it. We are in the mood to change the climate, to change everything. And that does it for our headlines today.